going to happen. Somebody act in faith right now and dance before the Lord. Somebody lift up a shout. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, it is so. It is so. It is so. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. What a wonderful presence of God is here. And I believe that anything is possible in this place today. I said, I believe that anything is possible here. Hallelujah. If I could just get one or two to agree together that that's possible. The Bible says that if two or three, like we could just get a handful of people to come together and believe that God can do whatever we need him to do in the house, that he can do it. Come on, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Come on, look at somebody next to you and tell them, I've got that power. Come on, look at somebody else and tell them, I've got that power. That power's living on the inside of me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, what a great day of church so far. Thankful for the one that received the Holy Ghost this morning and everything that God is doing in this place. We're going to be reading in 1 Kings chapter 19. I'm going to get out of the way pretty quickly tonight, but I feel like God has given me a word for somebody here, and I want to get the word out, and I want God to move and do what he wants to do here. I believe that the Spirit of God has a will tonight. I believe that there is a will of God for this service, and I want to help to facilitate and accomplish that will. 1 Kings chapter 19, beginning in verse 9. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him. And he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? Look at somebody next to you and say, what are you doing here? Come on, look at somebody else and ask them, why are you where you are right now? And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. He said, God, I'm just here trying to preserve the plan of God. I'm just where I am today, just trying to hold on so they don't take my life and extinguish what God wants to do in the earth. That's why I'm here, Lord. They've taken your prophets, they've slain them with the sword, they've cast down the altars to God, and they built up altars to Baal, and they are a reproach to the things of God. And I'm the only one, God, I'm the only individual that wants to do it. And I'm just preserving your plan, God. And he said, go forth, stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle, and he went out and he stood in the entering of the cave, and behold, there came a voice unto him again and said, Elijah, what are you doing here? Look at somebody and ask him again, why are you here? Come on, look at somebody else and ask them, why are you where you are today? And he says the same exact thing to God. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord. He's reciting a script. He's got it written down. God, this is why I'm inactive in this moment. This is why I'm sitting in the mouth of this cave. This is why I'm hiding. This is why my talent is on hold. Because I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, because they've thrown down your altars, they've slain the prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. He's saying, God, if I come out of my cave, if I come out of hiding, if I allow myself to be seen, they might kill me too, God. And what are you going to do then? When the one person who loves you and the one person who represents the plan of God in the earth is extinguished. And the Lord said unto him, go, get up, go, move, shake yourself. Go, return on the way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shall thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Mehola, shall thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Won't you put your Bible down? Let's talk to God right now. Mighty God in heaven, I love you. I praise you. I thank you for this night. I thank you for your people, God. You know where we are, God. You know what the future holds, Lord. There's nothing around the corner that's too big or too hard for you, God. We know and we trust that you've already gone before us, God, that you've prepared a way of escape out of every trial and every tribulation and every adversity and every difficulty, God. We know that you know the way that we take, God. I pray in the name of Jesus that the anointing of God, that the power of God would break us out tonight of the cave, Lord. I pray that you would take the shackles off of our hands and the shackles off of our feet, God. I pray that the Spirit of God would commission us tonight to go and to do and to speak the word of the Lord. Come on, if you're thankful for the word, if you believe that God's going to speak and move, why don't you lift up a shout of praise to God in the name of Jesus. God bless you. You can be seated in the presence of God tonight. We're going to get to food and fellowship in a minute, but I don't want you to be distracted tonight. I just want to tell you, I know there are a lot of things happening in the house, and I know there's a lot of movement, but before we get to the food and fellowship, we're going to handle the business of the Word of God, because God wants to talk to somebody here tonight. God wants to move in somebody's life. I'm telling you what I know, what God has shown me in prayer. The prophet Elijah is coming off of one of the greatest victories, if not the single greatest victory of his entire ministry. He has seen the power of God move in a dynamic way. He has walked in his high places with God. He has prayed. He prayed that it would not rain because the people were stuck in idolatry. And they had backslidden in their hearts, and they had built groves to the gods of the people around them. And for 3 years, the Bible tells us that it did not rain in Israel. This is a prophet that is mediating the plan of God to the people of God. He has heard from God. He has a vision from God. And he has lived through this period of time while there is no rain in Israel. It is a time of famine, and it is a time of drought. And the Bible tells us that the king, Ahab, hears about it. And he hears that the prophet of God has prayed that there be no rain. And then he saw the ensuing result of a man of God who has heard from God. And the Bible says that he swears, and he says that if I find Elijah, I'm going to put him to death. But Elijah is not detoured by this threat. Elijah doesn't become fearful, and he doesn't lose vision in the middle of the thing happening and the plan of God unfolding for the people of God. The people are in idolatry, and Jezebel and Ahab have led the nation into immorality and perversion that is unprecedented in the history of the nation of Israel. Elijah has a vision from God, and Elijah has a job to do. And in this particular passage in 1 Kings chapter 18, you will find a man, you will find a story that has some of the greatest focus. You will find a man that has some of the most profound courage of any place in Scripture. There isn't anybody in the Word of God, with the exception of Christ, that has such laser focus than Elijah does in 1 Kings chapter 18. He is dead set on carrying out the plan of God. This is the type of leadership that we talked about this morning. The type of leadership that has the capacity to disconnect from the emotion of the people around him. This is the type of man that doesn't get caught up in process and program. He doesn't look around him and weigh the consequences of what it means to lead the people of God toward righteousness. He doesn't test the wind of fad and cultural normative behavior and say this is what's acceptable and this is what's right in the mind of the people. But in this passage of Scripture, the prophet has laser focus. He has heard from God and he has a vision from God. This is what I would tell you tonight is ultimate leadership. The type of leadership that doesn't look for consensus. The type of leadership that many times rises up against popular opinion and looks people dead in the eye and says, I know everybody agrees that this is acceptable, and I know that everybody agrees that this is the right thing to do, but I've come with a made-up mind to say this is not acceptable and this is not right. Elijah is able to disconnect from the emotions of the nation of Israel because they are backslidden and they are perverse and they are without God. Israel has a backslidden leadership, and Israel has leadership in place that is carnal and that is filled with carnality and self-indulgence. And Elijah doesn't balk in the face of the pressure, the threat. They have political power. They have Elijah, Ahab and Jezebel have political power to snuff out the life of the prophet. They have the ability in the natural, they have the wherewithal in the natural to snuff out his life and to take him out. But this is a man who is focused, and this is a man who is determined, and this is a man who is filled with the vision of God. He's able to rise above the group. He's not disconnected from the group. He is still spatially connected, but there is a vision and a determination in him to see God receive glory. There is a determination in his mind and heart and spirit to see the plan of God unfold. Jezebel is having idolatrous parties with the prophets and the prophetesses of the groves in the palace. The emotions of the nation are riding high on this behavior, this carnality, and this sensuality. And the people, the heart of the people, become connected to this idolatrous leadership. So there are orgies and all of these crazy, bizarre behaviors happening. And there's a man who believes that God is just and that the word of God is true. And he's heard from God for the people. Elijah rejects the logical approach of pacifying Jezebel and Ahab. He rejects the ideology that many of the weaker prophets have adopted. They've conceded to the idea that if we can't beat them, then we'll just join them. And Elijah has seen this popular opinion even among the prophets of God who say if we can't conquer them, if we can't overthrow them, if we can't beat them, then we'll just go to work for them. He's rising up against the consensus and the popular opinion. He's been on the mountaintop with God. He's seen the vision of God and the plan of God, and he has an encounter with the word of God, and he's leading with vision and courage and self-differentiation. You see, you make no bones about it. When you see the prophet Elijah, you see a man that is distinct. He knows who he is. He knows what his identity is. He knows what his calling is. He's a self-differentiated leader. When you see him among a bunch of other leaders, you don't have to question, what is that man thinking? What does that man mean? And what is it really that he's all? I've come to tell somebody, the world around you should be able to look at you and say, I know what they believe. Your friends on the church pew should be able to look at, listen, I don't care who's doing what at what party. Your friends on the pew next to you should be able to look at you and say, I know what Austin believes, and I know what Dawson believes, and I know what Matt believes. I don't care what everybody else is doing. I don't care what's popular at the party. I don't care what jokes people tell behind closed doors. I'm here to tell you the will of God is that you rise up and differentiate yourself from the group and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I don't care how old you are or how young you are. This is the will of God. So in 1 Kings chapter 18, there have been many days that have passed, and the word of the Lord comes to Elijah in the third year saying, go and show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. It hadn't rained for a long time, and God says, finally, I've gotten the people to the place where they're ready to respond. Finally, I've gotten circumstances to the place to where the people are going to bend their will. He said, go show yourself to Ahab and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, for it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into the land unto all the fountains of water and unto all the brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we may lose not all the beasts. And so this is the type of leadership that happens when there's a spiritual problem in the land. This is the type of cognitive behavior that happens when a leader looks around and says, let's try to find a logical solution to the problem. I want to tell you, there's always some sort of natural solution that we can find to the problem. But deeper than the natural problem of there not being food and there not being water is a spiritual condition, and a wise and a visionary person will check the wind of the Spirit of God and say, this is bigger than food and this is bigger than water. God has a desire that he wants to accomplish, and sometimes it's that type of leadership that can push back the plate and say, you know what, I'm going to fast anyhow until I hear from God. It's that kind of leadership in a youth group that can say, you know what, there's carnality in the youth group, but I'm not going to gossip about the people that are falling into sin. I'm going to push back the plate and I'm going to fast and I'm going to say, God, I'm going to push back the plate until I hear from you. I'm going to push back the plate until something breaks in my world. But there's a famine in the land. So Ahab's trying to fix it through natural measures and means. So they divided the land between them. The pass throughout, Ahab went one way by himself. Obadiah went the other way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him and fell on his face and said, art thou that my Lord Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, how have I sinned that you would send your servant to the hand of Ahab to slay me? He said, what are you doing? Why are you sending me to Ahab? Don't you know he's looking for you? He's trying to kill you. As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said, he is not here, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And thou sayest, go tell the Lord, behold, Elijah is here. He said, how are you sending me on this death mission? And it shall come to pass as soon as I'm gone from thee that the Spirit of the Lord. He said, I know what kind of man you are, Elijah. He said, I know you're a man of God and I know you're a man of the Spirit. He said, just as soon as I go my way to tell Ahab that I've met with you, he said, God's Spirit's going to take you up. Because, see, this is the reality of it. He was a prophet of God. And his life was never in danger as long as he was in the will of God. Because every time somebody came to slay him, the Bible says that the Spirit of God would take him away. It was so real that even the prophets around him and the men around him knew that you're a man of God. They knew that no matter what happens in your life and what adversary comes against you, if you're in the will of God, God will take you up. God will preserve your life. I've come to tell somebody, I don't care what odds are stacked up against you. I don't care what false prophet is speaking against you or your home or your family, your kids, your ministry. I've come to tell you the devil is a liar. Let God be true. If God is for you, he's more than everything in the world against you. Was it not told my Lord what I did to Jezebel, slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah's here and he will slay me. And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. How did he have so much confidence? Because he had a word from God. How did he have the stamina and the courage to go and show his face to Ahab? Because God had spoken to him. He's doing the will of God. He's at the behest of God. He said, I'm going to show up, Obadiah. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubles Israel? And he answers, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandment of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. He looks at Ahab, and he said, Ahab, I know you're accusing me of being the problem with Israel. And yes, in the sense that there's no rain, I'm the problem. Yes, in the sense that there's no food, I'm the problem. He said, but what you can't see, Ahab, is that above the rain and above the food and above the water supply, all of the finite elements of this life, he said, the real problem is sin in the camp. The real problem is idolatry in the camp. The real problem is you have forsaken the commandment of the Lord. This is exactly what David does when he faces down Goliath. And Goliath looks at him and he says, today, the birds of the air and the beasts of the field are going to feed upon you. And David said, oh no, sir. He said, you think I'm a snack for the birds of the air? He said, wait till they're feasting on you, because you're an uncircumcised Philistine, because you're not a part of the plan of God. Because I'm telling you, when you get this deep down in your bones, you understand that nothing coming against you can stop what God is doing in your life. No, I'm not the problem. The real problem is sin in the camp. And so finally, the prophet tells Ahab, he says, go, and I want you to gather all of Israel. Get everybody together. There's about to be a showdown at Carmel. He said, it's about to go down in Israel. Go and get the servants of the king, and go and get the prophets of Baal, and go and get the prophets of the groves, and I want you to bring them to Mount Carmel. Get all of the people together. And the word of God says, now therefore send and gather me all of Israel. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. The people didn't have an answer because they didn't have a vision. The people didn't have an answer because God had not been visiting with them. And they were caught between two opinions. But the prophet of God said, oh no, it's going down today. Then said Elijah to the people, again, he reiterates this phrase, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. And then he tells them, go get two bullocks. And you know the story. They go and get the animals. And man, Elijah is in his element right now. I mean, this is like Michael Jordan, game seven, game on the line with the ball in his hand. He's in his element. He is in what we would call the zone, right? I mean, he's heard from God. He's got a word from God. God's given him a vision. I mean, how many of you have been here in your life? You've been in a situation before where you had clarity from God. I mean, the word of God had just come to you. You knew distinctly what you should do. And so he gets all the people together, and he gets all the prophets together, and he begins to give them instructions. Take the bullocks and put them on an altar, and he said, cover it with water and bring barrels of water. Now, you've got to remember, Ahab had already given the instruction to go to all of the brooks and all of the places where water was gathered and to get as much as they could stored away so that they wouldn't lose the remaining livestock. And so they have this water in barrels, and it's all in a secure place. And I mean, this is the end of the drought, and this is the end of the famine, but the people don't know it's the end. And so they've gathered all of this water and they're trying to preserve their livestock, and Elijah's standing there and he's in his element. He's looking at the people, and he's looking at the 450 some odd prophets of Baal, and he's looking at the over 400 prophets of the groves, and he's saying it's time to create an ultimatum. It's time to have a showdown. And they pour the water on top of the sacrifice, and then he tells the prophets of Baal, he said, come on, cry out to your gods. And they begin to cry out to their gods, and they're cutting themselves, and they're screaming, and they're crying, and there's no answer. And then he begins to mock them. Surely your God is here. Where is he? Maybe he's on vacation, and maybe your God has fallen asleep, or maybe he's having a bad day and he had to go and take a nap. I mean, he's really just starting to feel it. And the people are watching this scenario play out. And I mean, Elijah is, he knows, he's heard from God. He's been on the mountain of God. And he's seen some miracles, and he's seen some things happen in his life, and God has proven himself for him up to this point. And so it's a man with determination, and this is a differentiated leader. This is a distinct man, and this is a distinct ministry. And people walking by him would say, oh yeah, I know him. He has a ministry. When he preaches, things happen. He's like Dawson. I mean, whenever he prophesies, you can take it to the bank. I mean, God speaks through him. And Elijah's living this way, and he's in this moment, and this is like a crescendo moment in Elijah's life. And after the prophets of Baal have exhausted themselves, and after all of the incantations and all of the machinations of the human mind and heart and psyche, they're doing everything they can do. And the bottom line is nothing's happening and nothing's moving and no fire is falling. And then Elijah calls down fire from heaven. And the Bible says that the fire came down, the fire of God came down and consumed the sacrifice and licked up the water. And I want to tell somebody here tonight, I just kind of pause here and tell you this, that the fire does still fall. Amen. The fire does still fall. Miracles and signs and wonders are still happening in the earth. The Spirit of God has not ceased moving. The Holy Ghost is still for today. I wish I was preaching to somebody here tonight that believes that. So the power of God comes down. And at this point, I mean, you could imagine, this is red hot church. I mean, this is people swinging from the chandeliers, people jumping in the baptistry. This is people running around with potted plants on their head. This is people doing cartwheels and flips. This is 15 people getting the Holy Ghost and somebody getting up out of a wheelchair and blinded eyes being, I mean, they're having church. And I mean, in that moment, in that elixir of spiritual activity, the man, the prophet of God, pulls out a sword. And he looks, now the it's obvious to everybody at this point who the people of God are and who God is and who the false gods are. There is no confusion anymore, because a man rose up with vision and anointing and said, this is the way that it is. There's only one God. He's the God of Deuteronomy 6 and 4. He's the God of the Shema Israel. He's the God of Hear, O Israel. The Lord our God is one Lord, and you should love him with all of your heart and mind and strength. And I mean, this is like the pinnacle. It seems to be the pinnacle of Elijah's ministry. I mean, this is the zenith. This is the mountain, right? This is the mountaintop experience. Elijah does things that we don't find anywhere else exactly like that in Scripture. I mean, one man facing down all of these false prophets and this king and this backslidden queen and this incestuous relationship and this perverse culture and these emotional tugs and climates that exist in Israel that are pulling at everybody else, but he's not being sucked in by it. And I mean, all of a sudden, the clouds start rolling in. And all of a sudden, after 3 years of drought, I mean, what way to conclude this after all the water, all of the natural means are dumped out and consumed by the presence of God? I want to tell you that I believe that those water barrels dumped on top of that sacrifice was the deposit on an abundance of rain. Let me say that again. I believe that those water buckets, everything they had left, as the preacher talked about earlier tonight, everything that was left in reserve, I believe that that consecrated water barrel, that consecrated what was left over, was the deposit on an abundance of rain. I believe that God said, okay, you exhausted your means, and you exhausted what you had left, and you... It didn't make logical sense to dump it out, but God said, guess what? You can't see it, but right now there are clouds rolling in, and there's about to be an abundance of rain. Hallelujah. And rain starts falling. And the prophet of God leaves town, and he hears the report. Jezebel heard what you did. I don't know what happened in Elijah's childhood. I don't know why in his psyche he was not afraid of Ahab, but he was afraid of Jezebel. I don't know if he had a weak dad and a strong mom. I don't know if he just knew enough about Jezebel to know that she didn't play when it came to threats. Maybe Ahab was such a weak man that Elijah said he'll never follow through. Maybe Ahab never followed through on commitments or whatever the reason. But I do know that the prophet of God entered into a season of his life where in his mind he thought, it was over. In his mind, he thought, I'm done. The false prophets are dead. The nation of Israel has experienced a moment of repentance. The rain of God is falling again in Israel. And the prophet hears that Jezebel's coming to kill him. This man who has heard from God, who has walked in victory, who has prayed great prayers, who has preached to the nation of Israel, this man who has called down fire from heaven. Now, the courageous man, the self-differentiated man, the man who is distinct from all of the other prophets, is running for his life. Elijah thinks that it is over. He thinks that his ministry has reached its pinnacle. He thinks that the best days of his life are behind him. He's prayed great prayers, but let me tell you something tonight. It doesn't matter how great your prayers were yesterday. It doesn't matter how great your sermons were yesterday. It doesn't matter how good of a Sunday school teacher or a soul winner you were in yesteryear. The prayers of yesterday won't sustain you in today. The prayers that you prayed last week, last month, last year, the words of God that this church has heard in years past will not propel it into its prophetic future. One of the scariest places that you can get to in your life is arriving at a place where all of your dreams have come to pass. It is amazing to me to watch the number of people that backslide right after they get out of school, right after they get a career, right after they get a job, right after they get married. You see, the prophet is dealing with a circumstance in his life. All of a sudden, the fire is not present. And all of a sudden, the rain is not present. And all of a sudden, the victories of yesterday are a distant memory. And now he's running for his life. And it is amazing, this courageous and fearless, self-differentiated leader is now in a place where he bemoans his existence. He's now in a place where he wishes that he had never been born. You see, in his mind at this moment, his greatest victories were behind him. When we get to the place where the most significant things that have happened in our life are behind us, we are in trouble. When you get to the place to where your greatest prayers have already been prayed, you are in trouble. When you get to the place in your life where your greatest vision is vision that's already come to pass, you're in trouble. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something about where this church is right now. We've seen a lot of prophecies come to pass in this church's 31 years of existence. And I started looking back and counting the number of prophecies recently that have come to pass in this church's history. And you know what I feel in my spirit right now? I feel a frantic need and desire to have somebody come in this pulpit and tell us what's next. Because when the greatest prophecies that when you're standing in the fulfillment of your greatest prophecy, it's time to put on sackcloth and ashes again and go back to the drawing board and say, God, what next? What next? What next? No, you got to get this down in your spirit. Our greatest days are not behind us. He's suicidal. He's depressed. He's discouraged. He's despondent. Because in his mind, I've seen the height of ministry. In Elijah's mind, it's over. It's just a matter of days. And this cloud of darkness comes in his mind and in his emotions. He's running for his life in some moments, and he's stopping and saying, just kill me at other times. You see, what Elijah does not know in this moment is that the vision of God is still unfulfilled in his life. He's had partial victories. He's had moments of success. But his partial vision is forcing him to think that this is the end of his life. You see, partial vision can be as destructive as no vision. I said partial vision can get you to stop at a certain point and think this is all there is. And in the moment in my life when the vision of God dries up for what is next, then at that moment I am in danger. But in Elijah's life, there's some unfinished business. 1 Kings chapter 19, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. And withal, how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Sam, go ahead and come and help us out, man. Because we're about to have church. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. Elijah, your life's not in danger. But he's running for his life. And came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. Servant, you stay here because I'm in trouble. You stay here because I'm going to die. You stay here because I'm running for my life. You stay here because my vision is all dried up. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. He's saying, God, take me before Jezebel does. Take me before my life is extinguished. This is like the man Saul falling on his own sword. Take me, God, before it's all wrapped up. Am I not better than my fathers? And as he lay and slept, under a juniper tree. Behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking in the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. An angel just visited you with a meal. He is so exhausted. He is so depressed. The cloud that has come and enveloped his mind and his psyche and his emotions has put him in a situation where he would rather be asleep than be awake. I'm talking to somebody under the sound of my voice tonight that sleep has stolen a lot of your time, because you say, you know what? Sleep is one of the only things that swallows up the depression, and sleep is one of the only things that swallows up the pain. And I'm telling somebody here tonight, you've been sleeping, but more than you've been physically sleeping, you have been spiritually asleep at the wheel, because your vision is dried up and because your enemy's been coming to you and lying and telling you that it's over. But the devil is a liar tonight. Wake up, eat a meal, go back to sleep. Wake up, get on Facebook, go back to sleep. Before we're done tonight, if I had one person here that God turned the course of your future around, I would be satisfied with coming and preaching this sermon. If there's one person under the sound of my voice that you've been sleeping away your life and sleeping away your potential and depressed and despondent, listening to the enemy, who rises up tonight and says, I'm turning it around in the name of Jesus. If I had one person here tonight, it would be worth it. And he did eat and drink and laid him down to sleep. You see, God's trying to get his attention. If you stay here, where is here? It's not here in terms of the place. It's where are you, Adam? Where are you in your head? Where are you in your vision? Where are you in your life? Why are you here? What brought you here to this place in life? God's trying to get his attention. Elijah, you can't stay here. What are you doing here? I'm the only one, God. The only one in my family. My husband left. He doesn't love me. He doesn't love my kids. I'm the only one here. I'm the only kid in my family really living for God. That's why I'm here, God. That's why I'm in this cave, God. I'm in this cave. I'm in this darkness. I'm in this depression. I'm in this despondency, because I'm the only one. Don't you see where my daddy is? My daddy's in jail. Don't you see where my brother is? Don't you see where my mama is? Don't you see where my family is? That's why I'm here. God said, Elijah, you can't stay here. You can't stay here and survive. Don't you know that this journey is too great for you? Don't you know, man of God, you're distracted? A relationship's got you distracted? You're distracted in your mind and in your spirit. Don't you know I got plans for your life? Don't you know your greatest Sunday school lessons have not already been taught? Don't you know that your greatest sermons have not yet been preached? You can't stay here. And it's not because Jezebel's coming. The reason where you are here, the reason here is dangerous for you, is not because when Jezebel gets here, she's going to take your life. It's not because the spirit that destroyed your family is going to destroy you. It's not that that thing has any real power over the power that's on the inside of you. It's because here is not in alignment with the vision of God. It's because spiritual stagnation, lack of movement, is going to, Jezebel's not going to destroy you. Stagnation is going to destroy you. Jezebel's not the real enemy, Elijah. The real enemy is, I've got a vision for your life, and if you don't accomplish it, you're going to be depressed, and your depression is going to put your head in the lap of Delilah. And the angel of the Lord comes to him a second time and says, get up, boy. Eat some of this food I've prepared for you. You see, Jesus said, I've got meat to eat that you know not of. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. You see, what the Holy Ghost is doing for the prophet Elijah is, he said, you got to eat some spiritual food that'll give you sustenance for the journey. I've come to tell somebody, you got to stop eating on that time waster, and you got to start eating on the work. You need to get off of Facebook and get your face in the Word of God. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meal 40 days and 40 nights into Horeb, into the Mount of God. He had to get back to the place of the visitation. Where was he in the moment? He was in a place of stagnation. He was in a place of allowing fear to trump faith. And fear is the currency of hell. And when you allow fear to drive your life, well, I don't want to end up like my family, so I'm just going to sit here. I've come to tell you, you need to shake that spirit off and say, I've got power over what caused my mom and daddy to backslide. Can I tell somebody here tonight, what destroyed your mama and daddy has no power over you? I said, what destroyed your mama and daddy doesn't have any power over you. What you gotta do is wake up and stop being asleep and realize that the power on the inside of you is greater than what destroyed your family. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you're not going to die here. You're not going to die here. And finally, the word of God comes to him. He eats the meal. He goes to the Mount of God. And God looks at him. He says, Elijah, what are you doing here? I've been very jealous for the Lord of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. God asks the same question twice, gets the same exact answer twice. And God's testing him. And he said, go forth, stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by a great and strong wind. It rent the mountain and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out. This is our text. And stood in the entering of the cave, and behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord of hosts. And the Lord said unto him, go. Two letters, G-O. Profound theology, isn't it? if I had to reduce what I want to say to you tonight into one singular word or phrase, it's go. Go. Get up. And go. You want to know what the next vision is for your life? Go. You want to know what God wants to tell you here tonight? Go. Get up. Shake it off. And go. I said, get up. Shake it off. And go. If Elijah had stopped here and died, the greatest contribution that he would have made to the kingdom of God would have died with him. His greatest days of ministry would have been extinguished because of a lack of vision and a lack of faith in God. God says, you want the answer? The answer's not in sitting in a cave and bemoaning what you see is happening all around you. That is the problem. The reason why you feel the way that you do, and the reason why you're discouraged, and the reason why you're despondent. He said, get up, Elijah, and go and find some young people. He said, you're going to be walking through as you are going. You're going to be walking through a field, and you're going to see a young man by the name of Elisha. Listen, I don't know who the next Elisha in this church is, but I got a feeling there's one sitting here plowing, being faithful to the things of God. I come to tell a Sunday school teacher who you feel like your best classes are in your past. Get up. Go. Go. Go find you an Elisha. Put your hand on him. Pray an anointed prayer and tell him, baby, come follow me as I follow Christ. Find somebody to put your hands on. You know what this church needs to do at this point in our history? Everybody under the sound of my voice needs to find them a young man or woman and say, come and follow me. Let me tell you, you know what, Dad? You know what? Your ministry is going to shift soon, because the reality of it is to house the revival that God's bringing to this church. You can't just be a guy out teaching 25 Bible studies. The next thing that God's going to do in your ministry is he's going to open up a door for some young Elishas to say, come, let me show you how it's done. Put your hand on an Elisha. Get up. Get up. Go. 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 Shake off the depression. Shake off the despondency. Shake off the malaise. And go. Stop your crying. Stop your belly aching. Stop your bemoaning your life. Stop talking about the past. Stop talking about the problem. Stop talking about the dysfunction. Stop talking about what your mama did. Stop talking about what your daddy did. Stop talking about the reasons. Get up and go. Get up and go. Lay your hands on a young man. Lay your hands on. It's time for generational transfer. It's time to find you somebody to teach. Somebody get ready. Put your coat on. Put your shoes on. Get ready.
ready to go. Get ready to go.
There's a Samuel here tonight. There's a Samuel here, and you've been crying for Saul. And the Holy Ghost would tell you, stop weeping. Go down to Jesse's house. Get out your bottle of oil. There's a boy that's been hearing my voice. Somebody shake yourself right now. Somebody make a decision in this moment. I ain't talking about it anymore. I'm not studying my past. I'm not studying my family. I'm not studying my depression. I'm not studying my anxiety. Whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. His report says I am healed. His report says I am filled. His report says I am free. Get up. Get up. And go. Go. Yeah! Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time. Oh, I'm gonna praise. He's every day the same. To get loose in the Holy Ghost.
Look what the Lord has done.
He healed my body.
He healed my body.
He touched my mind.
He saved me.
He saved me.
Just in time.
I'm gonna
praise His name.
He's every day the same.
He's every day the same.
Come help me praise.
Help me praise Him. Look what the Lord has done.
Somebody get your mind.
Look what the Lord.
That's it. Find somebody to lay hands on right now. Come on, find somebody to put.
He's every day the same. Come on and help me.
Come help me praise Him. Look what the Lord has done.
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 He healed my body.
He healed my body.
He touched my mind. He saved me.
Shout,
get your mind on Jesus.
Look what the Lord
has done.
Look what the Lord
has done.
We got, y'all gotta stop being crazy. We got food to eat in just a second. Now listen. Where's Sister Bonnie? Sister Bonnie, come up to the front. Y'all keep praying. You ain't bothering me. Keep praying. Don't stop. There's more anointing in that lady's shoe right there. There is in the rest of the building all combined. Now listen. Sister Bonnie, I've seen in our church's history, I've seen piano players come, and I've seen piano players rise up, and I've seen the baton be passed over and over and over again. But you know what? You can get so maintenance-minded. You can pick everything apart until the whole thing is just a bunch of griping and complaining. But you know what the answer is? The answer is revival. The answer is a move of God. The answer at the end of the day, no matter what's happening in your life, is to find somebody to lay your hands on and to find somebody to anoint. I want you to stand right here. I believe under the sound of my voice right now, there's a young person who God has put the thought in your mind, in your spirit, that I want the anointing of Bonnie Smith on my life. I want that person to come forward right now. I don't care who it is. I want you to come and stand with her right now. This is the answer. This is how you retire, but you don't really retire. This lady's anointed. Dad, I want you to come and stand right here. This church, let me tell you where we are. We are no longer in a place where one person can be sitting on one instrument, playing one instrument, and just be focusing on playing that instrument. We are no longer in a place where one man can be teaching one Bible study or two or three Bible studies and focused on teaching a Bible study. Listen, there are some legitimate soul winners in this church who God has spoken to you and told you that you're going to be a Bible study teacher. This man has taught Bible studies in this church faithfully for almost the entire length of this church's existence. I need some people right now that God has spoken to you and told you that you're going to be a support for this ministry to come forward right now and stand with him. Jermaine, come here. Now listen to me very carefully. This church, for 30 some odd years, we don't put a lot of emphasis on preaching. Right? Everybody's a minister. But Jermaine's going to stand right here and represent preaching pulpit ministry. There are some people under the sound of my voice that God has shown you a vision for your life that includes pulpit ministry. I'm going to lay my hands on you tonight, and I'm going to do it unabashedly. I need people that God has spoken specifically to you and shown you yourself in a pulpit ministry. Adrian, come here.
Adrian is going to stand in for the quizzing department right now. Listen to me. This man's life has been represented for the entire time that I've known him. He was Adrian the Book Isbell, one of the finest quizzers and quizzing coaches. He's standing in for the quizzing department. I'm not limiting his ministry or saying that this is his ministry. Sister Tina's not here tonight. But there are some people that feel a burden for quizzing. And there are some people that God has put a burden in your heart to help young people learn the Word of God. I need some people to come and stand with him tonight. Now listen, we're going to pray. What we're going to do in a minute is these leaders are going to turn around and lay their hands on you. But let me tell you what I feel in the Holy Ghost. We're going to create a ripple effect in this church. This is what God told Elijah. He said, you're concerned with them slaying the prophets and them overturning the altars of God. He said, what I'm setting up in this place right now is a system. He said, if they get past the first king, they're going to have to deal with Jehu. And if they get past the second king, they're going to have to deal with the prophet. What I'm telling you here is what God wants to do in this church is he wants to set up a defense system that says when a young person comes up in the church, we're not letting them get away. I know everybody puts everything on quizzing, but I want to tell you something. Our young people need to participate in quizzing. But guess what? If the quizzing department doesn't catch them, then the music ministry is going to catch them. And if the music ministry doesn't catch them, then a Bible study is going to catch them. And if a Bible study doesn't catch them, then a preacher is going to catch them. But they're not getting away. When the enemy comes in, he's going to try to get in. But at the front door of the property is the quizzing ministry. If he tries to get in, the quizzing ministry is going to stop him. But if quizzing doesn't stop him, the anointed music's going to stop him. But if that doesn't get him, the Bible study's going to get him. And if that doesn't get him, the preaching's going to get him. God wants to raise up an anointed people, an anointed congregation, and give us anointed systems. Now, I want you to take out the anointing oil. Take out the anointing oil. And we're going to start praying. We're going to lay hands on these here tonight. The emphasis is not going to be on what is not. It's going to be on what is here. The emphasis is not going to be on what we don't have. It's going to be on what God has given us. Turn around and pray for him, Jermaine. In the name of Jesus. 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 Your anointing, God. Your power, God. Melody, while they're praying, come and stand in. I want all of my Sunday school teachers to come down, and I want you to stand with Melody as she represents the Sunday school department. If you're a Sunday school teacher, I want you to come forward right now and stand with these teachers. Melody, lay hands on them and pray the anointing of God down on them. Come on, we need anointed musicians. We need anointed quiz coaches. We need anointed Bible study teachers. We need anointed preachers. We need anointed Sunday school teachers.
Come on, Davin, I need you in the middle of this prayer. I need you to come and stand off on the side over here, because I need some people who want to be involved in outreach to go and stand with Davin. I believe that this is the next phase of what God wants to do in this church. I need some people who want to be involved in outreach to come and stand with him. Come on, get up. Take out your anointing oil and go and lay hands on somebody. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, something powerful is happening in this place right now. I can't quantify it all to you, but I'm telling you, something supernatural is moving in this place right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Santa Maria.
Come on, I believe God's given some people vision right now. I believe God is infusing some people with vision. You're seeing things a little differently than you saw them before. Where before all you saw was a dark cloud hovering over your life. Now the clouds are peeling back and God is showing you. This is the vision. This is how you move forward. God's telling you now. This is the way it's going to unfold in your life. Your greatest days are not behind you. Your greatest lessons have not been taught. Your greatest impact on the kingdom has not already been had. Your brightest days are in front of you. Come on, a generation's rising up. Some things only happen by the laying on of the hands. Something's being transferred in this place right now. I said there's something being transferred in this house. Listen, if you're here tonight and you want to go down and eat, you can go ahead and eat. We can make our first wave the wave that goes ahead now. But I just feel like some people are still touching God right now. I don't want to mess up a plan. I know we've got a plan. If you need to go, go ahead and make your way down. But if you're still praying, go ahead and push into that right now. Come on, there's some people breaking through some things in the Holy Ghost. There's some things being transferred right now. Come on, if you've been praying in one of these lines, if you've been one of the people praying for Bible study anointing or for outreach anointing, there are two lists down on the front. We're recruiting people right now for Bible studies. If your name's not on the list, come on, this is apostolic in the middle of this prayer time. Come and put your name on the list. Come on, if you've been prayed for tonight and you want that anointing, come and sign up and say, I'm willing to make a commitment to this place. I'm willing to make a commitment to this ministry. I'm willing to sign my name on the dotted line.